Ira asked a question at the end last time, and it was a great question, and I started looking into it, and I realized Rashi has an odd take on the last thing that we saw in the Gemara. Remember what we were doing? It was Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rav, and then there were three statements of Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rav. The first two, Rav Kahana then challenged him on. The third one was not being challenged by Rav Kahana. But the third case that we saw was the case of the barrel of water, it seems, water in our Gemara anyway, that falls into the Mediterranean. And somebody goes into Mediterranean trying to use it as a mikvah, but in that spot where the water fell. Right? You remember this remember this case? So what we said was that tevila is no good. So our question, Ira's question, was we have a principle called hashaka. Regular standard issue mikveh that we use, you have the bor, which holds the rainwater, and then you have the place where people actually dip, which is not rainwater at all. It's regular water, and the two are merged and linked by a hole in between them. That's the process of hashaka, and it makes your non-rainwater a kosher mikveh. So if that's good, right, where what you're dipping in is tap water, and it happens to be that there's a little hole, the hole has to be two finger breadths wide. You're not talking about like a massive hole that's bridging that to a bore. Now suddenly this is kosher. So why doesn't hashaka happen? Even if you are dipping in the actual barrel, you know, let's say it wasn't a barrel of water that poured into the Yam HaGadol, right? But it was actually the physical barrel. As long as there's a hole linking that to the water outside, that mikvah water should be fine. So why is this no good? That was Ira's question. So I want to go back and read this again because I started looking into it and I realized, first of all, Rashi has a different case and a different concern altogether about the tefillah. Everybody else disagrees with what Rashi does here. Tosos has another read of our Gemara that involves changing a key word, and it's worth taking a few minutes to get this, and we will still, I believe, catch up today to the pace that we wanted to be on, to be at the top of Hey Amad Aleph. All of that we can do. So if you look at Dalet Amad Aleph 4a, you want to be about halfway down the page, or for the optimists, halfway up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Chavis Malei Amayim Shenafla Liyam HaGadol. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Rav, if you have a barrel of water that falls into the Mediterranean, so far everything sounds fine. Hatov al sham lo also lo tevila. Person who dips there, the tevila does not count. Why? Chayshinon l'shlosh alugin shalo yehu b'makom echad. We're worried that there will be three log in one place. Now, what in the world? That should have been the tip-off that something is strange here. What does that have to do with three log? We did learn last time that in the event that you have a mikvah that is not yet 40 sa'ah, and then three log of non-mikvah liquid gets in there, it's no good, right? That we did say. But what does it have to do with this dip in the Mediterranean? What do you mean? You're worried that there are three log that are no good? What does it have to do with anything? So Rashi gives you an explanation. In order to understand Rashi's explanation, take a look on the sheet. Source Aleph. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Daled. Anybody who ever learned the first perek in Shabbos remembers hitting a brick wall called the Yud Ches Gezeros, 18 different decrees. And a lot of this involves Tuma and Tahara, and people get very confused when they read it. So one of those is, Hava Rosho Verubo B'mayim She'uvin. If a person, if the bulk of a person enters into Mayim She'uvin, drawn water, in other words, non-mikvah water, the rule is that person is Tamei. In other words, anytime you take a shower, basically, you make yourself Tamei. That's the rule. My time a gazu be'rabanan tuma. Why did the rabbis say that you'll be Tamei? So Amar of Bibi, Amar of Asi, Rabibi explains. Shebetchilo hayu tovlin b'mei ma'aros mechunasin usruchin. Because it was a time when not every mikvah looked like a spa. When people's mikvah was, you know, just like some cave somewhere with water in it. And it was disgusting. It smelled awful. But you noticed in Alei and Mayim Shuvin, so you'd get out of the mikvah and you'd take a shower. Hischilu ba'asom keva, and that became like the set practice was to shower afterwards, and gazra aleim tuma, and therefore they said, Now we're going to decree that if you shower after mikveh, you actually become tamei.
You mean they're going to shower and not bother going into the mikveh?
So not yet. That's where the Gemara is going. So the Gemara says, my keva, what do you mean when you say they made it keva? They made showering keva. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye first says, Shahiyu Omrin lo elu mitaharin, ela elu ve elu mitaharin. They started to say, it's not the mikveh that makes people tahor. It's mikveh plus shower that makes people tahor. To which Rava says, my nafkamina, who cares? Hakatavli. At the end of the day, they're still going to mikveh. So let them shower afterwards. You know, showering is not a bad thing. So let them shower afterwards. So Rava said wasn't the problem. It's what Ira just said. Ela amar Rava sheyu omrim lo elu mitaharin, ela elu mitaharin. They thought it wasn't the mikveh that was doing it. It's actually the shower that's doing it. And they stopped going to mikveh and they just shower. That was the concern. So therefore they said, we're going to decree tumah. Vitar shenaflu al rosho v'ruba shloshes lugin mayin shuv and may tamagazu berabanan tuma di'iloha lo kaimaha. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. That only explains why we would decree tuma if you went to mikveh and then showered. It doesn't explain why we would say there's tuma for someone who never went to mikveh and just showered. So he says, yeah, but if without you making a decree about just showering, you would automatically create this confusion. So therefore, you needed to do that. And this, by the way, is subject to a machlokes Ashkenazim and Sfaradim nowadays. If a woman should go to mikveh, go shower after using the mikveh, there's a view that suggests that she can shower, but at home she shouldn't shower in the mikveh facility after using the mikveh, lest it appear like the shower is what does it. Even though this is talking about tumah. And what we do nowadays, you know, a woman going to mikveh after being a nida does not change tumah because we're all tamei from cemeteries and whatever. Nonetheless, we still have this practice of not wanting to create confusion about what it is that works. So that's the Gemara in Shabbos. Now that you've read the Gemara in Shabbos, you know exactly what Rashi is going to say, right? Take a look at Rashi lo ulsa. It is, if you see the thin lines in Rashi, the bottom of the thin lines, lo also lo tevila, shema kol mayim shahayu b'chavis omdim yachad, because maybe the water from the barrel is all pooled in one place, v'shema bazer rosho of rubo b'mayim she'uvin, and he enters the bulk of his body in drawn water, v'ze echad min haposlin es hatruma. And that's one of the things that would disqualify truma because of this rabbinic tumah. That's how Rashi understands the story in the Gemara. So that, going back now into our Gemara, what we're saying is, what Rav Yehuda is saying, quoting Rav, is that if a barrel of water falls into the Mediterranean and somebody dips there, we are worried that they are going to be to become tamei because they entered into this pasul, the drawn water. That's the concern that Rashi provides.
But there's a
nafkamina.
One second.
Is there no, like, I don't know if the legislation applies by mikveh or not, but, like, I feel like with an ocean, you have a barrel of water holds in, the amount immediately disperses everywhere. I mean, how could you, even if you jump into that spot,
right?
Think that, I don't know.
Right. It doesn't have to be bottled. You still have 40 sub regular water.
So, in terms of bittel, it would not work for this, if that's where you dipped. But the argument of this is going to disperse is one that we're going to see. That we're going to see. That the Ritva makes that argument. He says this is going to disperse. All right, you going to say?
Yeah. Is it the barrel that's the issue? No. It's just you poured the barrel out.
It's the water. The barrel's gone.
Right. So again, in a regular mikvah.
It's the same question.
You had the same question. It doesn't change anything. You still have it's still touching the 40 sa'av. It's still touching the 40 sa, and we say
right.
It's kosher there.
So hang in there, hang in there. There are a whole bunch of questions you could ask on this case. The Mishnah LeMelech asks a different question. Look at the case in the Gemara again. What was the case in the Gemara? Just basic. What was?
Barrel fell into the Mediterranean.
And?
He jumped in that spot.
To do what?
To
go to mikveh, meaning you were tamei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
If the issue here is that this water communicates tumah to somebody, why did you give me a case of somebody who was tamei and wanted to go to mikveh there? It would apply to a random swimmer, a guy who was tahor. It isn't about somebody who thought he was going from tumah to tahara. It would be anybody.
No, the Gzeirah d'Rabbanan is only if you've gone to mikveh.
No.
Right?
No, 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 no. We said habarosha, but go back to the Gemara again. The last line of the Gemara that I quoted there, v'tahor shenaflu al rosha v'rubo. Right? We said you had to apply it even to the person who was tahor to begin with. Otherwise, the whole Gzeirah would fall apart.
Anybody who's tahor, who is supposed to mind shuv, becomes tameh.
Rosha v'rubo. Correct. Okay. Means kohanim are going to smell if they want to eat
right.
truma.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that's only if you went to the mikveh that day. That
right.
Gzeirah.
So, enter... I mean, there are lots of things that make a person tameh midrabbanan. This is only one of them. But yes. So the Mishnah LeMelech asks this question in source Beis. He says, "V'im tomar," you might ask, "Ma'iria denakar hatoval shamlo alzalo tvila." Why did you say in the Gemara the person who immerses there, "Mashma ma'iri shahaya tamei kvar"? It sounds like we're talking about someone who was tamei already. "Kevin de lomaria latruma lema dafilu tahor shatoval sham postel asat truma." Since we're just talking about this disqualification for truma, that will apply to somebody who was tahor and went to mikveh. That's problem number one. Is the case doesn't hold water, so to speak. That's number one. Number two is the Ritva's problem. And the Ritva's problem has already been pointed out in Source Gimel. He says, V'od, de'im kein, my high damrina lekaman, oki gavra achezkase, adraba, kevin de nitar mit. Actually, no, sorry, this is a separate problem. He points out the other problem in a minute, but Gimel first. The Ritva says, de'im kein, my high damrina lekaman, oki gavra achezkase. We're going to say in the Gemara that there's a difference between the case of a guy who dips in the mikveh to become tahor, as opposed to somebody who becomes tameh at the end of the Gemara. But, and he says, well, keep the guy with his chazaka. He says, no, just the opposite. This was a kosher tvila, what this guy did. It was a kosher tvila. The tvila took him out of his chazaka of being tameh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this gzeira that made him tahor, that made him tamei all over again. But he has no chazaka of tumah. He was untumad. And then he became retumad. But there was no chazaka. That's the first objection that that I brought you here from the Ritva. I see where I made my mistake. I jumped to the Ritva. What I wanted for the second objection, it's actually Tosfos. Sorry. If you take a look in your Gemara, the top Tosfos. Okay? Amr Yehuda Marav, Chavis Malei Amayim. Kach Girsis HaKuntras. He says, that's Rashi's addition. Uka Amar Lo also Lo Tvila Mishum Mayim She'uvin. He said that Tvila doesn't work because of this drawn water that's sitting there in the mikvah, in the sea. Velo Nira, but he says it does not appear correct because, as Ira asked, Deham Midishavi Lehu Hashaka Kimuchubarim Letarim Mituma Hu Adin Le'in Tvila Nami. He says, I don't understand. Your hashaka should still work. Three, you know, being exposed to, jumping into mayim she'uvin is no good. Where the mayim she'uvin are just mayim she'uvin. But where the mayim she'uvin, this no good water, is in kasher mikvah, hashaka should work. That's Tosfos' objection. So we have three problems. Number one, if it's really what Rashi thinks it is, then you should start off with somebody who is tahor, not somebody who specifically is tameh. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to go in the order that I had intended. Tosfos says this doesn't fit because Hashaka would work to make the three log that you jumped into fine. And then problem number three is what we read in the Ritva, where you talk about a Chazaka being Tameh in the Gemara. He says it doesn't make sense.
How can you have it both ways? How can you say that he's both getting Tahar by jumping in there because of Hashaka and at the same time say it's like he's taking a shower?
Because it's exactly true. The from a d'oraisa perspective, it worked.
Okay.
So and the original tumah is gone. I'll give you a practical application of that. If his original tumah was a tumah d'oraisa, that goes away. And now he just has tumah d'rabbanan. So the
say maybe they extended the gezerah, but really it is a kosher tefillah.
Right. So no.
Or maybe they extended it because of the way it looks.
Nah.
Either,
nope.
Okay.
No. Tosfos says you have the wrong Gemara. So it's not our fault. We're reading the words that are in front of us. So the words in front of us say that water fell into the mikvah. But Tosfos says no. The correct addition is wine. fell into the mikvah. Not water, fell into the mikvah. That's Tosfos' read. So wine fell into the mikvah, and the problem is that it formed an interruption between the person immersing and the water that's around him. It like coats him, right? He goes in, he's dipping in wine, gets on his skin, now he has an interruption between himself and the water, and therefore the mikvah didn't work because the wine stays in one place. That's the argument of Tosfos, to which the Ritva says, now he says his objection. He says, that's not true. He says, it's just physically not true. That's not the way it works. Wine is not going to just remain in one place in the Mediterranean. I don't know if he experimented, right? It's a worthwhile project. A little sheer field trip, you know. Let's go dump some wine into the water for the purpose of scientific advancement, right? We can write it up and get a grant. That's Tosfos' answer. The Ritva offers you a third approach, and that's what I brought you in source Dalid.
But is it that it stinks so, or that it's sticky and it sticks to you?
So in the event that you actually dipped in the wine, it would stick to you and it would be an interruption. The argument of the Ritva is that that's not what's going to happen. It's going to disperse. Yeah. The Ritva writes what you see in source Dalid. And he's quoting none other than Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan is a bizarre name to see here. Because usually we're familiar with Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan when Rashi quotes him on the Chumash, and it tends to be like gematrias and you know, very interesting drashos on psukim or agadata. But here he's quoted on a straight halachic matter. He says, "V'anachon b'zeh mashapirish harayvet zal b'shem Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan zal." The Sha'ani Hacha, the Hayam Hagadol Memov Meluchim Ukvedim. He says, you forget the Mediterranean is salt water. So he says the water is salt water. Is that true? I hope it's true. Yeah. The Mediterranean is salt water, and the water is heavier than other water. Ve'ein hamayim hamesukim misarvim imahim, and the sweet water, meaning the fresh water, is not going to mix well. Va'osan shlosha lugin hein omdim bimakoman, and the three log will really remain where it is. And therefore there's no bittul going on, for those who ask about bittul. He says there's no bittul going on because you can actually identify it, meaning the rules of bittul don't apply. If somebody has, let's say, a piece of ice cream that falls into their fleishik food, they can't say, well, it's batel. You can see it. It's sitting right there. So he says here there will be no bittul. V'lo amru shasheuven amatmeim nechsharim b'mikvah, and this idea of hashaka, that water that's no good becomes kasher when it's joined with a mikvah. That's only b'mikvah davka. That's only if it's actually with a mikvah. O b'naharos, or with rivers, shememehem einam meluchim, where the water is not salt water. Umisarvim miyad ve'einam nikarim klal, and therefore they mix immediately. And you can't distinguish one drop of water from another. He says, so you don't do hashaka with salt water and fresh water.
That sounds crazy. Hear from like wine to water, but also I think it's very crazy. But water to water, I mean, none of us could say this is salt. It's not.
It's a good science. It's competing. It's a sweat.
This is actually something you can figure out.
Hank, science for sure.
There you go. This, yeah. You know what? The truth of the matter is, we did this once. My baby Drash did it in one of the schools in Toronto. We did this like Torah science fair type thing, like experiment with whether things will rise to make matzah or to make chametz. You know, like things like that. You can do projects. There are lots of projects. This would be one of them.
It's got to be done.
So pour the wine in first, and then so the only objection to the latter two approaches, meaning we understand the objections to Rashi's approach, right? Rashi's approach is difficult to understand, just fitting it into the Gemara. The problem with Tosfos, who said that the issue is it's an interruption on the guy's skin, and the problem with the Ritva, who says it's about the salt water and the fresh water, is that it has nothing to do with three log. Why did the Gemara mention three log in one place? It has nothing to do with three log at all. Right? For Tosfos, it's any amount as a chatzitza. For the Ritva, it's about the whole thing. Right? But where did you get...
What's the amount of water that if you don't have a mikvah, shas of chak,
Nine kav.
It's nine kav.
Nine kav. That's a different thing. Yeah. Correct.
From the shower?
Okay.
Yes, it is.
How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a question for another time. There's a lot more that you could see about this. I just wanted to show you this. But let's see the Gemara now. At least reading it Rashi's way. Now that we understand what Rashi did here. So, Rav Yehuda said, quoting Rav, that this doesn't work for you for mikvah because we're writing about three log in one place. But specifically where it's the Mediterranean, because everything is fixed. But not a river, because a river, everything will flow. And Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa to support it. Here you get Tosus' case. A barrel of wine falls into the Yamagadol. Hatovel Shamlo also lo tevila. It doesn't work. We're worried about three log of. It doesn't mean literally drawn water because it's wine, but three log of non-mikvah that's in one place. V'chein kikar shel truma shenafal sham tameh. And so too, a piece of truma that falls there is going to be tameh. And the Gemara then asks, my v'chein, what was this thing about also the piece of truma? And this is what we mentioned before with the chazaka issue. Mao desema hasam oki gavra chazake hache oki truma chazake. I might have said the person was tameh to begin with, because that's what we assume the case is, and therefore he remains tameh because he has a chazaka being tameh. Whereas this kikar, this piece of truma, was tahor when it went in, and therefore we should treat it as still tahor. Kamash Malan, it's teaching me it's not so. Okay, so that's all just from last time. Clear? Good?
Okay. Truma Darabanan? Apostle Tameh Darabanan?
What?
When the truma falls in there.
It's going to become tamei d'rabbanan. Yeah, correct. Correct. It also becomes gross, by the way. But that's a separate thing. All right. Mishnah. Mishnah now is done with the weird cases. What do we do to an eid zomim who tried to make somebody a halal? What do we do to an eid zomim who tried to shorten the term that somebody had for paying back a debt or to cheat the guy of the ksuba? Like, those are weird cases. Now we're just back to regular, run-of-the-mill Edim Zomamin. And the question we have is, what punishments do we actually give? Mishnah says, 10 lines up from the bottom. Mi'idin anu bi'ish ploni shechayev l'chaveru masayim zuz. They testify that so-and-so owes somebody else 200 zuz. V'nimtzu Zomamin. They turn out to be Zomamin. What do we do to them? Lokin u'mishalmin. This is going to be Rabbi Meir's position. He says they get Malkos, and they pay the 200 zuz. Why two different punishments? Shalo Hashem ha-mevi'on l'dei Malkos, mevi'on l'dei tashlumen, divrei Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says that which causes them to have to pay is different from that which causes them to have to get Malkos. They're two different issues, according to Rabbi Meir. What he means by that, as we'll see in the Gemara, is that they're getting Malkos because the Torah says, Lo sane b'reacha yitshaker. You're not allowed to lie under oath about somebody. You're paying the 200 zuz because we make you do kasher zamam, as you intended to do. So two different psukim, yielding two different penalties, you get both penalties.
But don't we have a principle
you want? We'll get there. You are correct. We'll get there. You are correct. The Chachamim say, "Kol ha-mishalim eino loke." They say a rule is a rule is a rule, and we're going to see this rule on Dalet Amud Beis. And Larry is already like, "Hey, wait a minute! Don't you know this rule? The rule is if you're paying, you're not getting malkos. That's not the way it works. And that's actually a principle which is in the Gemara Ksuvas Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph." The source for it I'll just mention now, but we'll see it in the Gemara. When we talk about giving someone Malkos, it says you give him kidei rish aso vimispar, according to his wickedness. Rish aso means his wickedness singular. Whereas if we're plural, rish uso, that would suggest that they could be punished in multiple ways. So therefore, you're only giving him one punishment, and that punishment that we're going to give him is that he has to pay. Why not let the one punishment be the Malkos? Because the Torah says, Kasher Zaman. You have to do to him what he wanted to do. So that takes priority, which is the 200 Zuz. That's the idea here. We're also going to see the Chachamim don't believe that there are Malkos for Losane anyway. In other words, there are two reasons to disagree with Rabbi Meir. Correct. There are two reasons, well, maybe, we'll see. There are two reasons to disagree with Rabbi Meir. Reason number one to disagree with Rabbi Meir is because we don't give people two penalties. Reason number two to disagree with Rabbi Meir is that we don't think Losan Aaron's Malkus in the first place. So we're rejecting him regardless. But first, we have to see the second case of the Mishnah. Me'idin anu b'ish ploni shuchayev Malkus arboim. Two witnesses come in and say, this guy is supposed to get 40 lashes. They, you know, we know he was already caught in another Beis Din, and they decreed he should get Malkos. The Nimtzu Zomim, then they become Zomimin. Lokin Shmonim. So Rabbi Meir is going to say they get 80 lashes. Why? Mishum Losana Barecha Eid Shaker. Right? 40 lashes for Losana. Umishum Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomim. And another 40 because you do to him what he wanted to do to the other guy. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Sorry. No, because we would do it in segments. We let them recover, and then we do it. We let them recover, and they do it more. That's all. Yeah. You know what? You should have thought of that beforehand. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Lokin Ella Arboim. The Chachamim say, no, only 40 lashes, that's it. So the Gemara brings us a statement from Ula. The idea here is we're going to see two different versions of what Ula did, but there's a case called Motzi Shem Ra. We usually use the term Motzi Shem Ra in a much more benign way than the Torah does. Motzi Shem Ra is normally a term used for lying about somebody in a way that's going to give him a bad reputation. That's actually the benign version. Is just generally saying things that aren't, right? Lashon Hara is things that are true. Motzi Shem Ra is things that are not true. That's the usual way we divide it up. Whether that's entirely accurate doesn't matter for right now. The rule of Motzi Shem Ra that's found in the Chumash, in Devarim Perek Chav Beis, is talking about a man who marries a woman under the impression that she had not been with a man before Kiddushin, and then he alleges, falsely, that she was with a man between Kiddushin and Nisuin, which would get her the death penalty. And then it turns out that he was lying. So that man is going to receive Malkos, and he also pays a fine. That's a rule. He's going to get two penalties. So what we're going to see in the Gemara is Ula, one of the Amoraim, is going to extrapolate a lesson from that weird case of Motzi Shem Ra. It's a weird case because you are getting two penalties in such a case. So Ula is going to want to learn something from that. Okay? Clear. Okay. So first version is the one that has the direct Eid Zomim application. And you can already see where it's going because you know what we said in the Mishnah. Top of Dalet Amud Beis. Bishlama l'Rabbanan k'dei rish'aso k'siv. I understand the view of the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, who said it's only one penalty, because the Torah says he get k'dei rish'aso according to one rishus. Mishum risha achas atamachayvo v'yatamachayvo mishum shtei rishuyos. You only give him one penalty, not two, says Larry. El Rabbi Meir maitayma. So why does Rabbi Meir disagree with Larry? Right, why is he giving Larry a hard time? He's a kidney donor. Ray Mayer, don't you know better? So Amar Ula. So Ula says, Gomar mi motzi shemra. Yeah, but Rabbi Mayer is learning from the law of motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra loke umishalim, avko loke umishalim. In the motzi shemra case, you get two penalties. So do here, you can get two penalties. To which the Gemara says, what? Mala motzi shemra shekain knas. Motzi shemra is a different story. It's not a direct financial payment of restitution. It's a fine. It's unique to the rules of motzi shemra. It doesn't have any relationship to other cases. To which the Gemara says, no, didn't you learn the Gemara just a couple of weeks ago? Savala Rabbi Akiva damar edim zomin knasahu. He's following Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, edim zomin is also knas. Right, we had this whole discussion, is Adam Zoman knas or mammon? And it makes a lot of sense to say that it's a knas, because what you're paying is not restitution. The guy didn't lose anything, right? And yet you're still paying. So therefore, Adam Zoman is knas as well. That's the idea. Tosfos notes here, the top Tosfos, Bishlama. I'll say it outside of the Tosfos. But Tosfos says, we assume by default here, the Rabbi Meir agrees with the K'dei Rish Aso limitation to one punishment. The assumption is Rabbi Meir, in other words, no one says, well, that's okay, Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with K'dei Rish Aso. He does agree with K'dei Rish Aso. It's just that he thinks Adam Zoman is different, because Adam Zoman is learned from Motzi Shemra. Bobby.
The fact that you compare it to Motzi Shemra, it is, my definition, you're getting what you tried to cause. But Motzi Shemra, there's never, you get what you tried to cause, because that would be the death penalty. So how do you, how is it?
True. So you're arguing these two cases are dissimilar. How are you extrapolating from one to the other?
Motzi Shemra's not death penalty.
No, but it would have been, no. She would have, no.
He's just saying that. You know, whatever, my wedding night, I know
right, so,
I proved that you...
Right, so the Gemara in Ksuvo... No, because the Gemara in Ksuvo says what we want him to have happen is that he goes to Beis Din. He says, turns out she's not a Besula. And then they're going to say, does anybody know anything? And then Edom are going to come to actually...
that's already one step removed.
But that's the expectation.
That
doesn't matter. The point is that he is setting her up for a potential death penalty. It's true, he can't cause it. But not directly, but he is setting her up for it. It's true. I would argue in response that Aiden Mizomimin can also be death penalty cases. We're going to see an argument like that in the Gemara in a little bit. There is, within the sphere of Aiden Mizomimin, the possibility of a death penalty case also. So that's our first idea from Ula. Is that Ula says... Motzi Shemra is the basis for Rabbi Meir's position regarding Adam Zomerman. Just like Motzi Shemra gets two penalties, so too Rabbi Meir thinks Adam Zomerman gets two penalties, even though normally we don't do that. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first. Then we get the second statement of Ula. Version number two. Of Ula. In order to understand that version number two of Ula, I just have to mention the law of Nosar. Nosar means?
Leftovers
from a carbon. There are two dinim of Nosar. There's a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah losa asay. The mitzvah asay of Nosar is Nosar from your Shabbos food. You have a mitzvah asay to eat it for a certain number of days. And then you have a losa asay from your karbanos that it hits a deadline and now you're in trouble. Okay.
It's a plot. Now we know it's a mitzvah.
There you go. So the rule, though, is, and this is where people get confused sometimes, is that the iser for nosar from a karban is not only an iser against eating it when it's too late, but even leaving it until it's too late. In other words, you have to destroy it before the deadline. That's the rule.
Oh, you can't like let it become mias.
Correct. You have to destroy it. Like we say regarding the karban Pesach, right?
That's why I was mistaken.
Although there it's not Yom HaShlishi, but whatever.
That's why I was mistaken. That's why I thought maybe there was a mitzvah that burned it.
Mm, got it. No, there is, actually. There is. I was just having fun.
He's
that's
joking about it.
Yeah. There is. Yeah. No, it's going to come up. It's going to come up in our Gemara. So this will all be relevant when we see this second version of Ula. We are now about 7 or 8 lines down the page. Ika demasni lahad de Ula. Aha. Some applied Ula's idea of extrapolating from Motzi Shemra on the following. Desanya, Brisa says, this is regarding Karban Pesach, the pasuk we're quoting. Lo so siru mimenu ad boker, don't leave any of the Karban Pesach until the morning. Vanasar mimenu ad boker, and that which remains until the morning, Brisa chesrof, will you burn in a fire. End of pasuk. Ba kasav litain asay, achar lo sasay. The pasuk is giving me an asay after a los asay. And what that means is what we also call lav hanitak la'asay, a prohibition which is cut off by an active mitzvah. And what that means outside of this context is normally basic prohibitions, basic isurim, basic los asays earn a person malkos. But sometimes the Torah says, if you did this bad thing, do this now. Do this mitzvah asay. And if you do the mitzvah asay, then you don't get malchus. You did. It's not exactly a correction. The avera still happened. Nonetheless, you've now made things right to the extent that you can. So yes, the classic example is gezela. A person steals. The Torah says, ve'yishivas ha-gezela, he shall return that which he stole. So instead of getting malchus for theft, we tell him, no, just give it back. That's all. What if he destroyed it? Now he can't give it back. That's a different story. But this is called lav elosase hanitak, which is cut off laase with a mitzvah ase. So that's what's happening here. The fact that the Torah says burn the Nosar means that, yes, it's true, it became Nosar, and that's a problem. However, now you instead of getting Malkos, you simply destroy it. Lomar Shein Lokin Olav. There are no Malkos. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lomin Hashem Huzeh. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's actually not true. That's not correct. Your reasoning is incorrect. You want to know why there's no Malkos? I'll tell you why. El Mishum Dehavel Lav Shein Bomaisa. Because it's a losa, say, but there is no action associated with it. There's no action in Nosar. You just didn't do anything. That's how it became Nosar. V'cholav she'ein bo'maisa ein lokin olav. When you have a prohibition that is performed without doing anything, you don't get malkos. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. So everybody agrees there are no malkos for Nosar. It's a machlokas as to why.
Are there any other examples of something like that?
Of a lav she'ein bo'maisa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there are lots of them. I mean, we mentioned it with losana. Right? When we talked about giving false testimony, we said there's no deed involved in speaking, you know, in that case. Yeah, that would be an example of it. There are. The truth is that speech is actually an odd category. Sometimes speech is considered a deed, and sometimes speech is not considered a deed. It has to do with whether there are real-world effects of it. It's like they talk about one of the cases is, the Torah says you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's threshing. What if you don't muzzle the animal? But every time it moves its head towards the food, you shout at it. And that keeps it from eating. So aside from being a not nice person, you may get malkos also. Maybe we consider, since it had this real world effect on the animal, maybe that's considered like a deed. There's more like about that. So as a general rule, I should state it clearly. The way we know these exceptions, you don't get malkos if it's lav hanita klase. You don't get malkos if it's a lav shein b'maisa, is because the Torah presents the laws of malkos right next to the prohibition against muzzling your animal while it's threshing, and that teaches me that it has to resemble that isser in order to have malkos. So that's an isser you normally violate by an action, right, muzzling the animal. So therefore, it has to have that. It's an isser for which there is no corrective. You muzzled it. You kept it from eating. Giving it food later doesn't change that. So that's also, you know, labanita klase would be different, would not get malkos. So I have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda says there are no malkos because it's labanita klase. Rabbi Akiva says there are no malkos because it's lav shein bo maisa. So the Gemara wants to know, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda give Rabbi Akiva's reasoning? Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say it's because it's lav shein b'maisa? Why did he need to say it's because, regarding Nosar, it's lav hanita klasei? He should have said lav shein b'maisa. Call it a day. Michlal Rabbi Yehuda savar lav shein b'maisa lokin alav. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda believes that there are malkos for lav shein b'maisa. Menale, how did Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that there are malkos for lav shein b'maisa? Amar Ula gamar mimotzi shemra. So Ula says, that's what I learned from motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra lav shein bo maisa lokin olav. Motzi shemra does not involve an action, it's just talking, and yet he gets lashes. Av kol lav shein bo maisa lokin olav. So too, every other case of lav shein bo maisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, gets malkos. To which the Gemara says, not so fast. Mala motzi shemra shekein loka umeshalim. Not every losase is like motzi shemra. Motzi shemra is more severe than other losases because you get two penalties. So maybe you could extrapolate and say any case that's like motzi shemra to have two penalties, lav shein bo maisa still gets malkos, but not that random losases get malkos. Ella amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, okay, gamar me edim zomamin. We'll learn it from Edim Zomamin. To say that Edim Zomamin is Lav Shein Bo Maisa and yet gets Malkos, so too, all Lav Shein Bo Maisa gets Malkos. That could be Rabbi Yehuda's, basis. To which the Gemara says, Ma Edim Zomamin Lav Shein Bo Maisa, first to say it, spell out the conclusion. Ma Edim Zomamin Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olav. Edim Zomamin, no action and yet Malkos. Afko Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olav. So too, every Lav Shein Bo Maisa gets Malkos. So that's how we can support Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda actually learned it from Edim Zomamin. That's the idea. To which the Gemara says, by the way, that's Malkos, even not a Malkos and Mammon case, but a case like the one where he made somebody a halal, or tried to make somebody a halal, where he said he's just getting malchus, there is no money to pay. So the Gemara says, Mala Edim Zomin Shkein Ein Tzvichen Hasra. You can't extrapolate from Edim Zomin to other Lo Sa'aseh cases. Edim Zomin is stricter than other Lo Sa'aseh because they're liable even without Hasra, even without a warning. Meaning, normally, in order to get Malkos or any other penalty, really, you're supposed to be warned. If you do this, then you're going to... Actually, no, let me just say Malkos. Let me not get into other penalties. It's too confusing. There's a warning in which we say, if you do X, you will be in violation of this crime, and you will get this punishment, which you don't do with Edim Zomin. You could warn them, hey, lying is a bad thing. But that's not the same thing as a detailed warning of, if you are Zomamin, you're going to get whatever. So there's no Hasra. So that makes this much harsher than other Lo Sa'aseh. So the fact that Edim Zomin can get lashes doesn't mean other Lo Sa'aseh will get lashes. Everyone understands the argument? So the Gemara says, Motzi Shemra Yochiach. Okay, but we can prove it from Motzi Shemra, V'chazar Hadin. And what we're going to do is apply the logic with both cases. And here, if you take a look on your sheet, I tried to show you what the Gemara is about to do in Hay on the sheet. We have two cases. Motzi Shemra is the top line. Edim Zomin is the lower line, right? Motzi Shemra has an aspect of it that's stricter than other cases. The fact that it's loka umeshalim, malkos and payment. Edim Zomin has something that makes it stricter than other cases. Malkos without hasra, without a warning. However, that which makes Motzi Shemra stricter than other cases doesn't exist for Edim Zomin. That which makes Edim Zomin stricter than other cases doesn't exist for Motzi Shemra. So what we're going to do, is pull the two cases and say, if these two cases involve Malkos, even though there was no action, and it's not because of that which makes either of them stricter, because that which makes one of them stricter doesn't exist in the other one, clearly it must just be that Lo Sa'aseh have Malkos even without a Maisa, because that which makes each one unique doesn't exist for the other one. To take this outside of the realm of our Gemara, someone said to you, I have a Honda Civic, and my Honda Civic makes this weird grinding noise every time you start the car. I assume that all Japanese cars probably make this grinding noise when you start them. Somebody else says to me that that can't be. You know, he says no, that can't be. I'll tell you why. Your car is unique because it's from 2017. That's why. It's because your car was a 2017 car. I say to him, no, because I also have a Toyota from 2015, and that one grinds also. So that proves that all Japanese cars... Toyota's in Japan, right? Yes. Okay. So that proves that all Japanese cars really do make this grinding noise when they start, because it's not just that one that's 2015. So the guy says back to me, no, because that your Toyota is brown. It's the fact that it's a brown car. That's what does it. It's the brown cars that do it, maybe. So I look back at him and I say, look, I have two Japanese cars. They both grind when they start, right? You can't tell me it's because this one is a 2017, because that one's not a 2017. You can't tell me it's because this one is brown, because that one isn't brown. Clearly, the common denominator between the two of them, or what matters, is that they're Japanese cars. Obviously, well, this is ludicrous, and I don't have a Toyota. But that's the idea. That's what we're doing here. We're saying, you're telling me you can't extrapolate from Motzi Shemra to the other prohibitions, because Motzi Shemra has Malkos and payment. But Edim Zomin doesn't. You're telling me you can't extrapolate from Edim Zomin because Edim Zomin has Malkos without Hasra. Yeah, but Motzi Shemra doesn't. So now I can take the two together and extrapolate. All right, don't want you to interrupt me yet because I want to get through the line. So the Gemara says, Lo re'izeh kira'izeh. We're in the second wide line. Lo re'izeh kira'izeh, v'lo re'izeh kira'izeh. The aspects of this one aren't in that one. The aspects of that one are not in this one. Hatzara shava shebahen. The common denominator is, Lav she'ein bo maisa. They are prohibitions without actions. V'lokin olav. And there are malkos. Of kol lav she'ein bo maisa, lokin olav. There are malkos for all lav she'ein bo maisa. To which the Gemara says, Malat zara shava shebahen shekain knas. There is still a common denominator between the two. Motzi shemra payment is a knas. Adam Zoman payment, we said like Rabbi Akiva, is a knas. So only tell me that prohibitions with a knas get malkos for lav shein bo maisa. So Gemara says halo kasha. No, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda lo savar like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda did not agree with Rabbi Akiva that it's a knas. Rabbi Meir did. Rabbi Yehuda did not. Ela malat zara shava shebahen shekain yesh ben tzad chamur. Okay, fine. I agree with you about that. Don't say that. But say this, which I think Ira may have been about to say. They say that Motzi Shemra and Edom Zomim can't be extrapolated to other cases because Motzi Shemra and Edom Zomim are both cases where there is a unique stringent aspect. One is Malkos and Tashlumen, and the other one is No Hasra. Rabbi Yehuda tzad chamur lo parich. That's true. However, Rabbi Yehuda did not believe in that in that approach. The Rabbi Yehuda did not believe that that's a legitimate challenge. Now, there's something else you could point out here. Tosfos has this nice discussion about how the harsh aspects are different from each other, but we're at time. So maybe we'll come back to that, God willing, next time, and wrap up the Gemara next time up to the Mishnah. Okay. Yeah.